decades old celebrating Christmas. And yet we have to be careful that it doesn't get so familiar that it fails to move us. And so this morning I want to just focus very briefly on two passages of Scripture, one that was read this morning and one that was not, which I'm going to read. We in our shepherd groups have been working our way through Isaiah, and recently we looked at Isaiah 7, which of course contains Isaiah 7:14, which is a prophecy about the birth of the Messiah. And so I'd like to draw your attention to that verse as found in Matthew 1, 22 and 23. So we're going to focus on the birth of the Savior and what it means for us both now and for eternity. And then we'll follow up with some verses in Revelation 21. And the connecting theme is that God is with us. So we read these verses, and Jackie read them earlier, so I'm not going to read the entire passage that she read. But when Joseph was told that Mary would bear a son, and Joseph was to call his name Jesus, which was the name that Mary was also told, the name Jesus means Yahweh or Jehovah is Savior. Yahweh saves. And so every time we say Jesus' name, we're reminding ourselves that God is a Savior, that His Son is God who is a Savior. And He came into the world in order to save us from our sins. But then Matthew records these words, "All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us." God with us. So we will just think about that for a few moments, and we'll conclude with some thoughts from Revelation 21. So this great promise comes from the lips originally of Isaiah. God giving it to Isaiah. So Matthew tells us that the words of the angel who appeared to Joseph in a dream, words that instruct him to follow through with his plans to marry his intended bride, are really an announcement of good news. And so firstly, the fulfillment of God's promise is the Savior's birth. Now, didn't sound like good news to Joseph. Mary is pregnant. And Joseph assumes that she's been unfaithful to him. That's hardly good news. But he learns that things are not as he feared, and that God has graciously allowed both Mary and himself to be part. And this is amazing when you think about it. They, this couple, are allowed to be part of God's eternal plan, which has to do with everything. The saving of sinners, the establishment of his kingdom, the glorifying of his name, and the summing up of all things in heaven and earth in unity under his Son. And they get to be part of this, as do we. And so this plan is becoming fulfilled at this time. Really, this is the beginning of the fulfillment. And so the essence of the news that Joseph receives is that Mary has been chosen to be the mother of God's Messiah, the Savior who will rescue God's people from their sins. In other words, what Joseph hears is the gospel message that you and I rejoice in. If we know Jesus as our Savior, it's the same message. And it's the message we are called to proclaim to others to this very day. What we need to grasp here is that the Holy Spirit, inspiring Matthew to record these things, wants to emphasize especially that God's good news is to be understood as the fulfillment of this ancient promise. This all did not just happen by chance. It did not happen as a second thought. It was part of God's plan that He's revealed through the prophets over the centuries and was fulfilled in the fullness of time. In other words, what we are to recognize is that God is faithful. What He has said He would do, He has done. He means what He says, and He says what He means. And of course, that's important to us in our daily living, is it not? He carries out His word right to the dotting of the I's and the crossing of the T's. As Matthew says, all this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. So as we celebrate another Christmas, let's start by remembering that the Savior's birth, which we celebrate, is the fulfillment of God's promise and the evidence of his faithfulness. And it's very important to us that we know that he is faithful. So, that's the fulfillment of his promise. The essence of his promise is that God will restore the broken relationship between himself and mankind by once again dwelling among his people. The relationship is broken. God sent his Son to repair it. So Matthew tells us that the promise of Jesus' birth is the fulfillment of this prophecy made to Isaiah, or made by Isaiah, back in Isaiah 7:14. Now, we can go back and think about what was going on then, and if you've been in the shepherd groups, I could get you to come up here and explain this, because we've already worked our way through this. Back in the days of Ahaz, king of Judah, maybe I'll give a test to some of you. You had to stay on your toes in this church. Some 7 centuries before Jesus' birth, a coalition of the kings of 2 nations had threatened to destroy the kingdom of Judah. Quick, who are the 2 nations? Syria and Israel, the northern kingdoms. Okay, see, the people that are in the shepherd group are on the ball. That's good. They were threatening to replace the Davidic king, at that time it was Ahaz, with a man of their own choice. And of course, the question of the day was, what would become of God's promise to keep a descendant of David on the throne? Would the messianic heir ever come into the kingdom of his father David? It was at that point that God sent the prophet Isaiah to King Ahaz to tell him to trust in the Lord and even to ask God for a sign of his protective care. In fact, he said, make it as high as heaven or as low as Sheol. Make it supernatural. Make it difficult so you know, Ahaz, that I am hearing you and I will be with you and I will protect you and I will keep my promises. And Ahaz, who preferred as an ungodly king, really, to rely only on human allies rather than God, and so he got on the phone and called to the king of Assyria to come and deliver him, rather than trusting God, he refused to ask for this sign. And he piously said, I won't put the Lord to the test, because of course the scriptures tell us not to put the Lord to the test. But in this case, the Lord commanded him to test him, and he wouldn't do it. So Isaiah is filled with indignation, and he speaks the message of the Lord to Ahaz and to the whole house of David, which includes all of his descendants. Therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. Behold, the virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and shall call his name Emmanuel. And then Matthew, quoting that prophecy, explains the Hebrew word Emmanuel, which means God with us. So at a point of crisis for the kingdom of Judah, 700 years before Christ, God had graciously given a specific promise of the coming Messiah, the coming of his son, and a sign of his coming, that he would be born of a virgin. And of course, Jesus of Nazareth, Jesus born in Bethlehem, Jesus the Christ, is that Messiah. His birth, which we celebrate, is the realization of God's long-awaited promise. But of course, if it is the fulfillment of a promise, it is also the guarantee of the fulfillment of that promise in full. It is the guarantee that God would not and will not ever abandon his people. He is God with us. In fact, I read something just the other day which talked about the blessing of the fact that it is God with us, not us with God. We didn't have to go to God to be with him because we were not able to, but rather God came down in the person of his son to be with us where we are at. And so he took upon himself human nature and he humbled himself and became a servant. He veiled his glory. He lived and worked as a humble carpenter, and he walked the dusty streets of Galilee as an itinerant preacher. Of course, the purpose of his coming, as Matthew tells us, was to save his people from their sins. But we must understand that rescue from sin and guilt and judgment is not the ultimate purpose of our salvation. As important and as essential as it is, The prophetic name given to our Savior, Emmanuel, tells us that the removal of our sins is the means to a greater end. And again, as we celebrate Christmas, we rejoice in the fact that Jesus came to save us from our sins. But we need to keep in mind that greater purpose, which is the restoration of our relationship with the living God, our Creator, that He might dwell among us and we would not be destroyed by the revelation of His glory, but rather that we might live in fellowship and harmony with Him and enjoy His presence. Think of the relationship that Adam and Eve enjoyed with God in the Garden of Eden before sin entered in. In Genesis 3:8, we read, "They heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And as a result of their sin, they were afraid." And what did they do when people who are sinful are confronted with the holiness of God? They hid themselves. They knew they were guilty. If you ever share the gospel with somebody, sometimes they respond with favor and they want to hear, and other times they're really angry. Why is that? It's because deep down we all know before our Creator we're guilty. We don't like to be reminded of that. As we think about them, Adam and Eve walking in the garden, hearing the sound of God walking in the garden, the impression is given that God had a habit of walking in the garden with them on a regular basis. Before they sinned, they enjoyed that fellowship with Him. But after sin came, they hid from Him. But it is just here that we see the great hope of Christmas. Our Savior has come as Emmanuel, God with us. He has come to restore that relationship, that intimate friendship and communion with God that we all long for deep down, but which we've lost because of our sin. You just have to look at people. Do you like to watch people? Are you a student of people? You see that all people are yearning for something. They're all hungry for something. They're all missing something. And they are driven and they don't know what for. And they try to fill the emptiness within with things. Or perhaps with money. Or perhaps with fame or power. In this world, so often it's with things. Just drive down the street tomorrow and look at the lineups outside the stores. Why are they lined up? Because they want more things, because there's this emptiness in their hearts and they think that things will satisfy. But we are created by God to know God. And the good news of Christmas is that once again, God is with us. He dwells in our midst. And this is not only reserved for Jewish people. Gentiles are no longer on the outside looking in. As we read in Colossians 1, to them, speaking of the Gentiles, God chose to make known how great among the Gentiles are the riches of the glory of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So the fulfillment of God's promise is the birth of His Son, and the essence of His promise is the relationship that is restored because His Son is God with us. And then the consummation of God's promise is that He will make all things new through Emmanuel. God with us, and that's really the connection if we turn to the end of the book. And by the way, the Bible is a book you're allowed to read the final chapter to see how it ends. It's okay. It hasn't happened yet, but we know that it's a good ending. John is given a vision. Then I saw a new heaven and a new earth, for the first heaven and the first earth had passed away, and the sea was no more. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God, prepared as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, "Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and they will be His people, and God Himself will be with them as their God." You see the stress on God with us? "He will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death shall be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away." And He who was seated on the throne said, "Behold, I am making all things new." Also He said, "Write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true." So in this apocalyptic vision, John sees a new heaven and a new earth and the holy city, the new Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from God. And the key characteristic of this city where the people of God will dwell forever is the presence of God. Behold, the dwelling place of God is with man. He will dwell with them, and God himself will be with them as their God. In essence, the vision of John recorded in Revelation is that of the outworking and the consummation of the promise of Emmanuel, God with us. In the next verse, John tells us, verse 4 of Revelation 21, that God will wipe away every tear from their eyes, and death will be no more. Neither shall there be mourning, nor crying, nor pain anymore, for the former things have passed away. Aren't you looking forward to that day? The older I get, I can say honestly, the older I get, the more precious that day becomes, and the less attractive this world is. When we think about and celebrate Christmas, the coming of God's Son into the world, Emmanuel, God with us, we must never forget that this humble birth in that little Judean town 20 centuries ago was a seemingly small event that put into motion a chain of events that are still being worked out in human history, a chain of events including Christ's death and resurrection, his ascension to glory, and his reign at the Father's right hand. A chain of events that will be consummated with his return and the establishment of the new Jerusalem, where we will live with him and he with us forever. Verse 5 sums up the meaning of all these words. He who was seated on the throne said, "Behold, I am making all things new." So when we think about Christmas, we think about Emmanuel, God with us. May the Lord help us to remember that he is the one who came to make all things new. And it doesn't matter that things are wearing out, including us, because one day all things will be made new. One day he will return and he will complete his work, and we will be there to experience and enjoy it, and we will see his face. We will enjoy him forever. Mankind began in the garden walking with God. We lost that privilege because of our rebellion and our disobedience. But Christmas reminds us what God has done, and that he has done what is necessary to restore what we lost. He sent his beloved Son to deal with our sin problem in order that we might walk with him once again. So as you celebrate Christmas this year, let us think of Jesus' birth as the guarantee that he is making all things new, and that God's promise to dwell with us will be fulfilled, and that his presence is ours to enjoy even now. Emmanuel, God with us, behold, I am making all things new. Merry Christmas. We have a great Savior, a great salvation. All people on earth, we ought to be filled with joy. So rejoice. In fact, let's rejoice. Let's stand together and sing Joy to the World.